Happy Advent, everyone. This is exciting. And it is a season of Advent, and all across the country, pastors are filling pulpits talking about the same sorts of things, talking about how Christmas is coming. And I imagine in a large number of those pulpits, those pastors are hitting the same refrain that we hear many years, which is the difference between the Christmas of shopping and the Christmas of Jesus. The difference between the Coca-Cola Santa Claus and the Santa Claus who kneels at the manger before the Christ child. It's easy to get disillusioned with Christmas. With all the shopping that we have to do, it seems like Christmas can just turn into this cash grab. Where, oh, it's all about the presents, it's all about getting, it's all about maximizing profit. When I started thinking about this, I remembered the movie Jingle All the Way. Have any of you seen the movie Jingle All the Way? Yeah. Okay, so for the 90% of you who haven't, this is a Christmas movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad, which I feel like it doesn't get more 90s than that. So and it's a Schwarzenegger movie, right? So it's a Christmas action movie. The whole thing is about how they have to get on Christmas Eve the toy of the season, the Turbo Man action figure. And if they don't get Turbo Man, Christmas is canceled. And they're like going back and forth in the aisles, and they're, you know, sending RC cars at each other and knocking over displays and all sorts of crazy stuff. Christmas can be a little bit much. And I mean, like today it can be a little bit much too. We've got Alexa and Siri and Google who are all looking over our shoulders saying, hey, what do you want to order for Christmas? Can I serve you up the right ad so that you'll buy my product? Question is, if we get the Turbo Man action figure just in time for Christmas, if we buy all of the things that Siri and Alexa and Google put in front of us, if we have filled every supposed need and bought all of the gifts for others, will it be enough? Will it quiet our chaos? Will we finally be at peace? The question is, what do we actually need at Christmas? 2,000 years ago, a woman named Mary is told that what the world needed was a savior, and that she would be the one to bring him into the world. Now she hears this news from an angel, and she goes then to discover that her relative Elizabeth has heard similar news, that she is going to give birth to a baby who will later be known as John the Baptist. And when Mary greets Elizabeth and finds out everything that's going on in her family, she is overwhelmed at the momentousness of the occasion because she knows what this means. And the Gospel of Luke records her singing what we now know as the Magnificat, which is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And I would like to read that to you now. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary knows something is coming. Something important is coming. Something that had been hinted at through the prophets from generation to generation, passed down to her to that day. She knew that God had scattered the proud, that God was going to bring down the powerful, lift up the lowly, fill the hungry, and send the rich away. She knew God is, was, and will be turning the world upside down. And this is what Jesus came to do. We know that later, after Jesus was born and grew up, he went into a synagogue and he read the passage for that day as the announcement of his mission statement. And he turned to Isaiah 61. And he read from that scroll. And Isaiah 61 starts by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is his mission statement, what he came to do. Good news to the oppressed, binding up the brokenhearted, liberty and release. When this was originally penned, it was given to a country, a nation that was coming out of a terrible time in their history, exiled away from their homes. And they felt that God was binding up their broken hearts. This was their message. But Jesus brings new light to that same passage and offers us this hope at Christmas that Mary herself receives. So let's go back to that question of what we need at Christmas, because it seems like there's a lot that we need. I don't know how many of you had very busy weeks this week. I had busy weeks. I didn't even have to cook anything. I had to drive to Ohio and back. That was busy enough. And go to parties and go to dinners and be with lots of kids. It was really fun. But it was busy. And then I come home and Karina and I are like, okay, what is the bare minimum of Christmas decorations that we can put up and still be like accepted by our neighbors? Because it's already Advent. Here we go. I'm not going to be able to get my house ready. I'm not going to be able to get it clean. I'm not going to be able to put all the decorations up. I still have to get them out of storage. It's practically here. We got gifts to wrap. We got people to shop for. It seems like what Christmas is calling us to do is to rush as fast as we can to be good enough for somebody or something. Is that what Christmas is calling us to do? Compare that to Jesus' mission statement, where he offers a world where the brokenhearted are healed, where people are at liberty, where those who mourn are comforted. Compare this busy Christmas to the Christmas offered to Mary. And she sees an upside-down world where the people we as a church spend our time helping are the ones who are lifted up, where hunger is no longer a problem. Can you imagine that? We have to close down the pantry because no one has need for food anymore. Can you imagine that world? So what would we rather have, right? Would we rather have the Turbo Man doll and all of our Christmas decorations put up and our shopping done? Would we rather have a world without violence, a world without broken relationships, a world where people are no longer held captive in any sense of the word? Mary's choice was clear. She was the poor. She was the downtrodden. The news of the angel was not just a nice story for her. It was hope. It was life-changing. So of course she would accept this challenge, this burden, because it would reshape the world. That was the hole in her life that needed to be filled. That was the gap that God was ready to step into for her and for us. And she experienced vividly the ability of God to fill her actual needs. But we know, too, what our actual needs are. I mean, we can see it instinctively. You look at a sunset and you go, whoa, there's something more to this world. I see such beauty in the birth of a child, baptism. You see hope and new life, and you go, there is something beyond what meets the eye in what just happened here. We know it too when we see injustice, when we see crimes go unpunished, when we see death. We know there has to be more than this. There has to be something better, because this is not right. We know instinctively as human beings that there is something beyond eating, sleeping, working, shopping. And you know what? Christmas will be just a story if you let it. It will just be about the shopping if that's what you let it be. But if you let it, Christmas can be good news. And when I say good news, I mean news, new things, life-changing things. Good news, when you hear it, is powerful. You know, I will never forget when I got a phone call one day when I was driving. It was my brother, and he goes, "Are you driving?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Pull over." He said, "We're having a baby." And that changed my world. I've got a nephew. Just got to see him at Thanksgiving. It was really fun. Good news is life-changing, life-altering. And you want to tell people about it. You can't wait. So I want us to do that, to be the bearers of good news, to be the people who go and tell, just like Mary was told and told others. Just like Mary was invited in to be a part of it, we are also invited in to sharing this good news. Jesus is knocking at our door, waiting to enter our lives, ready to make us part of his miracles of peacemaking, of kindness, of healing, of justice, of joy. He is within you, near you, to advance his mission of binding up the brokenhearted, freeing the captives, of turning the world upside down. Who knows what will come next? It's part of the excitement at Advent. We don't know what's coming next, but we are awaiting something. Something good. Something that is good news in a way that nothing else is. Friends, let good news enter your hearts, change your living, and give you that for which your heart truly longs this Advent. Amen.